You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, now available on iTunes. Hit the subscribe button and never miss an episode. We are also available on Audio Boom and Mixcloud, while Android users can find us on Pocket Casts and Podcast Republic. Enjoy the show and thanks for listening.
You're all very welcome to episode 13 of the Between the Stripes LOI podcast. You're listening to the number one ranked League of Ireland podcast on the iTunes charts at the moment. We're up to 25, John. Incredible stuff.
Incredible. And I'm just wondering how many times you can mention it tonight, Kieran. Because it is incredible. I mean, we started off last week, we got into the charts 190. I checked it this week. All of a sudden, we're in the top 40. Couldn't believe it. And it's been rising ever since. Fantastic. Thanks, everybody that contributes and listens and subscribes.
Yeah, thanks to everyone that's reviewing us at the moment on iTunes and giving us subscriptions, and also to all our Android listeners as well on Pocket Cast and Podcast Republic. And I guess all I have to say on that is eat our dust, Gary Neville and Sky Sports News and all the other big names behind us at the moment.
Liverpool FC.
Liverpool FC, yeah. Take that one. Up the League of Ireland.
Absolutely. You boys have taken one hell of a beating, I think it is.
Brilliant. But on tonight's show, folks, we are joined by Cove manager Stephen Henderson. We are going to have a major discussion for the first half of tonight's show on attendances across the league. Some worrying figures coming out from the weekend's games. Only 200 people turned out for Cove's, the biggest game in years, in all truth, against Cabinteely. So Stephen Henderson's been quite vocal on social media this week about that, and we're going to discuss that with him shortly. We'll be joined by Wexford FC media officer Shane Marin. Attendances there, they're not really picking up despite the rebranding, but maybe Shane will tell us the positive aspects that Wexford FC are working on at the moment, like their membership scheme. We're going to be joined for the second time by Julian Canny. He's a Galway United fan. A huge win for Galway at the weekend, a 2-1 win over Derry City to boost their survival hopes. But again, only 871 turning out at DC Park, one of the finest grounds in the league. Surely they should be getting numbers higher than that. And finally, we'll be joined by a man who's simply won almost everything in Irish football at this stage. It's Dundalk goalkeeper Gary. So we're joined on the show now, just before he takes under 15 training tonight down in Cove, it's the Cove manager Stephen Henderson. Stephen, welcome to the podcast once again.
Thanks very much, and congratulations on your iTunes success.
We're just saying how many times we might mention that tonight, Stephen, so thanks very much for that.
But Stephen, you did tell me to mention it, didn't you?
we'll send the check in the post, Stephen. But Stephen, you've been quite outspoken on social media this week in regards to attendances. Your team, Cove, had, in all fairness, what was probably the biggest game in many a year down in St. Coleman's. At the weekend, and only 200 people turned out. That must have been extremely disappointing for you, not to mention the result as well.
Well, yeah, it was disappointing. I was disappointed for the players. Obviously, like, we're extremely grateful to the people that do show up. But effectively, this was like the playoffs last year, as far as Kieran. You know, it was three games to go. We were still in a chance of winning the league, regardless of what water. Last year in the playoffs, we had over 2,500 people here. And I actually said to the players before I come out, lads, we're going to have a crowd here, no matter what's happened. Let's give this a real go tonight. Mm. And I walked out before them, and my heart sank.
Yeah.
You know, it did. The ground was empty, it was flat, there was no atmosphere really in there. And, you know, it was, when the players walked out, you know, I'm not making excuses for them. It was like the league was over, and it wasn't. So it was really disappointing, and I just don't know why it happened, and I wanted to find out why does this happen and how do we fix it, you know, because it was a huge game for us. Let's be honest, Cove Ramblers don't challenge for leagues often. Mm. We've won it once, and we had an opportunity to win it, and you know, it was just really disappointing.
And Stephen, have you had any responses to that? Has anyone come with maybe something out that's not quite obvious to the naked eye as to why these attendances are so low?
No. You know, we can always go back and we can look at, you know, put investment in and advertisement, and it's the same stuff, but we're going to have to, you know, I think we have to become a little bit more radical. We have to look at it. And I suppose if you're having a game of ball and things aren't going well for you, you know, you'll always say, let's go back to the basics here. So that's what we have to do. We have to go back to the basics here and see where we're going wrong, and see how, you know, as the league in itself, how can we improve the league, and how can we improve the attendances without the usual stuff. And, you know, and if you look at it, you know, I've been thinking about it a lot and going, what can we do here? And, you know, we finished the season now on the 7th of November. We're not back until the 24th of February, roughly. So, you know, that's 4 months. That's a third of the calendar year. There's no football in Ireland at senior level. You know, so it's that kind of inconsistency. And then when you throw into the fact that this was our full of inconsistency as well, Kieran, that can have an effect because you're doing your best, you're on a run, you're winning games, and, you know, you're starting to bring the crowd through the gate, and then you go missing for 5 weeks. You know, so people will find other things to do within that time frame. So no matter what kind of advertising you're doing, if you're not there, if the live product is not there, it's like going to the gym. You get into a habit, you go to the gym, you're working well, it's a good habit. You know, the gym is closed for 2 or 3 days, you go, you start eating chipper food, you start having a few pints, and then you fall into that. You know, that's what I do a lot anyway. But, you know, that's just the way it is, you know. So it's that kind of inconsistency. You know, I think the off season is too long. We're trying to get people in. And then this lark that you can nearly go 2 months without a home game. You know, you're trying to get people in. They will find something else to do. You know, and it's just the complete inconsistency of it that's, you know, I think that's having a negative effect on attendances, not just in the fourth division, but it can happen in the Premier as well. I think Sligo need 2 months since they were at home, Kieran, you know. Yeah. And that kind of stuff does have an effect on attendances. You know, the same with the structure. I don't know what the structure is for next year. You know, I don't know, are the playoffs back? With 2 games left, I don't know what the structure is.
Well, it's funny that, Stephen, because that was going to be my next question. Without trying to avoid you a nice fine from the FAI, do you, how much of a blame do you put on the FAI's door for scrapping the playoffs this year?
Well, look, come here, none, because, you know, we have this Premier Alliance thing, whoever they are, whatever they call themselves, that are going around making decisions for all the clubs, and they've no right to do that. You know, the FAI are the leaders of this, and the FAI, you know, have to take responsibility and management of this. If you look at the Premier Division now, it's probably been the most competitive Premier Division, and the reason for that is simple, is because every team has something to play for. So, you know, through all this adversity of taking away the playoffs in the fourth division and relegating 3 clubs, that only work for the most important people in football. The most important people in football are the supporters. How do we get them in? How do we entertain them? Is it entertainment by winning stuff? Is it entertainment by staying up? If you look at Finn Harps, if Finn Harps stay up, what a remarkable season for them. That's their success. Galway, if they come out of nowhere and stay up, that's success. You know what I mean? So can you imagine that? That's a really competitive Premier Division at the moment. So can you imagine now if the playoffs were still here in the fourth division, the likes of Longford coming out of nowhere, could they have got that playoff? Cabinteely, could they really have kicked on? You know, every game would have had a meaning. And now we're down to the last 2 games. We finished second, which is a brilliant achievement for our club. I don't mind saying that, but we're good. We didn't go all the way. Congratulations to Waterford, by the way. You know what I mean? But this league could have been still going, and it could have been really interesting, and it could have really ignited the passion and the supporters for League of Ireland football. But for some reason, that was taken away by this Premier League crowd, whoever they are. And, you know, and it's affected Irish football. And that's what kills me. So the FAI have to kind of say, look, at what can we learn from this? Yeah, promotion, relegation, 3 teams. Can we get 2 teams promoted? Can we get the playoffs in there? And let's give the supporters something to look forward to week in, week out. Get the consistency into the league. Don't have the break so long. Do you know what I mean? Like, Jesus Christ, 4 months. Like, people forget there's even football in this country after 2 months. Do you know what I mean? 4 months is too long. Can we have a look at that? Can we review that? You know, can we keep the three teams possibly getting relegated so everybody has a game? You know, something to look forward to. Can we introduce the playoffs and so everybody in the fourth division can have something to look forward to? You know, it's just that little inconsistency. It's the same if you're looking at the games on the telly. I don't know. I start getting into, you know, watching the match on a Friday night. You know, becomes part of your routine. It's something that you look forward to. And all of a sudden, it's gone for 2 months. You know, so it's all these in the league. But can we make the league exciting for the supporters? You know, can we? This doesn't cost money. This is just good organisation. Can we get the organisation right? Make things, you know, really passionate for the supporters, passionate for the players. You know what I mean? That doesn't cost money. That just costs good management, good organisation. And we get the structures of that right, and make it exciting, then we can start going off looking into the, you know, the merchandise and the social media and the stuff, which is brilliant, by the way. You know, but we've got to get these structures right.
Stephen, just before we go, just wanted to ask you, you know, with these kind of attendances, would it put the future of the club at risk?
Clearly, I tell you, look, I'll tell you something here now, and I have to say, my wife is the treasurer here at Cove Ramblers Football Club, and, you know, I see her, and my heart goes out to her because of the stress that she's constantly under. I'm not lying to you, I came home the other night, and the poor girl was getting sick with the stress, and I wanted to know what's wrong with you, and I've seen emails that she's getting sent from different companies demanding payment for this, demanding payment for that. It's such a hard job. And yeah, I think it could put clubs out of business. How are we supposed to survive a club like us with a minimum budget? You know what I mean? Mm. And we're not at home for 5 weeks. Mm. Our, you know, the majority of our money comes through the turnstiles. And, you know, we've made a conscious decision, and it was a moral decision, that when we come in here, that we don't build up debt, that we pay off people who are owed money. And for that to happen, we need people coming through the gates. And when we're away from home for 5 or 6 weeks, you know, that affects, obviously that affects how we can pay the payment methods. And that poor girl getting sick, that broke me heart. So we have to have a look and say, how can we stop this? I'm sure Leslie's not the only one, do you know what I mean? I'm sure there's other people with other clubs who are going through the same stress on a daily basis to keep these clubs going. I love Cove Ramblers. You know, we love Cove Ramblers with a passion. We want the club to be set, but we genuinely need a proper structure in place. We need to make this league exciting for the two leagues. Do you know what I mean? We need to be consistent. And if even the affiliation fees, if you look at the affiliation fees are outrageous for league clubs. When this happened in 2007, the prize money was actually very decent. Do you know what I mean? I think it was up around $250,000. It was going to be all this. But that has come down substantially in terms of the prize money for clubs. But the affiliation fees have remained the same. So even stuff, small stuff like that goes a long way for clubs like us, that we can pay our bills, you know what I mean, and put teams out on the pitch. And you know, for someone like us, Cove Ramblers, an amateur side, come out and finish runners-up. It shows what can be done through good organisation within the club itself. But we need the help of the FAI and all the other clubs to come together and say, let's make this a league about the people that pay their money to come and support it. And let's make it exciting. And we can get them to come and support it. We can look after the players better. If we can look after the players better, our league gets better.
Stephen, it's been an absolute pleasure being on the show twice this season. And even the guys down in Cove, the social media team, they've been a huge help to us here in promoting the podcast. So thanks to everyone in Cove. Well done on a great season. Very unlucky that you didn't go all the way, but I'm sure you'll be back again stronger next year.
Thanks very much, lads, and keep up the good work. You're doing brilliant with that. Well done.
Cheers, Stephen. Talk again.
Thanks, Stephen.
See you, lads. God bless.
Kieran, that was a superb interview. I mean, some real good points there from Stephen.
Yeah, I have to say, Stephen Henson, he's one of the most passionate men within the League of Ireland. And for me, he's probably the best manager in the First Division at the moment. The job he's done down in Cove, not just this season, but last season. And it's clear that he has a long-term project. But as he says there, if the people aren't coming in the gate, there's no way Cove can fulfil that long-term mission. He's admitted himself that if attendances like that were to continue, that we may not see Cove Ramblers in the league, which is very worrying because... it's a lovely ground to visit. It's a great away day to go down to, and hopefully things turn around. But we're going to move on now, John, and we're going to speak to another man from the First Division. And this man has an inside view on a little bit on how clubs are run. So hopefully he will have some insightful views on this discussion on attendances. It's Wexford FC media officer Shane Maron. So we're joined now by Wexford FC media officer Shane Maron. Shane, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Kieran. Thank you.
So, Shane, it was your biggest home attendance of the season at the weekend as Waterford came to town. And as we all know, they eventually went on to be First Division champions thanks to that result and Cove slip up a home to Cabinteely. The only thing from it, I suppose, was that the majority of the crowd was Waterford supporters. And Wexford's attendances, they haven't been the highest by any means this season. But for a new club, I suppose it's positive that there is a core base building there at the moment.
There is, yeah. It was a huge attendance on Friday with Waterford. There was, I'd say, probably 600 or more Waterford fans there, in great spirits, well behaved. It was a great night. It was a great night, and with my official hat on, it was great. All the €10 coming through the gate as well, you know. It was great to see. Great atmosphere.
But as we're saying, the first half of tonight's show is on attendances. So I'm just looking at a couple of figures here. 281 versus Cove, 282 versus Longford, 289 versus UCD and 261 versus Athlone. So kind of a real level number there throughout. Are you happy with attendances this season, Shane, or could they be higher?
No, absolutely not. I mean, obviously we're striving to get people through the gate every week. That's what a football club is, really, isn't it? It's the fans, it's for the fans. So, I mean, with the atmosphere that was created last Friday against Waterford, we'd love to have that every week. Obviously, from more home fans coming through the games, but you know, it's something we're trying to do all the time is get them attendances up.
Yeah, from following Wexford on social media, Shane, there seems to be great efforts, particularly, as I said, social media, Twitter especially, live videos, that type of stuff. I think that's something a lot of clubs in the League of Ireland really struggle with. But Wexford FC seem to have a good grasp on it. There seems to be some good content on there. As I've mentioned, and we'll talk about shortly, there's a new membership scheme. So fans actually have an ownership and a say in the club, which for me is crucial in League of Ireland circles. So let's cut to the short story here. Why do you think more people are coming out?
It's a tough one. Like you say, we've really tried hard this year, especially on social media. Social media obviously isn't the be all and end all of everything. I mean, there are people who aren't on Facebook and Twitter and things, but obviously a lot of people are. So we try and cater for that. I think the reason attendances are not great, I think ultimately football, it's a results game, isn't it? And you've got to say that the results haven't been what we hoped for this season. And you know, it's difficult to convince people to come out to a game where, you know, the chances are it's not going to be a good result.
And plus, so little on the line this season, Shane, with the playoffs gone.
So little on the line. I mean, now Waterford are promoted, so, I mean,
the season's
teams
over.
Have two games left of the season, but sure, what's the... like, you could almost say, what's the point? But, you know, obviously, you go out there and you do your best every week, so...
And on the membership scheme, Shane, that was the launch night was last week, if I'm correct in saying. How was that taken off for Wexford?
That's right, yeah. We had that last Wednesday in a hotel here in Wexford Town. It's met with positive response. It's anything I've kind of seen on, you know, social media or from talking to people around the town or whatever, it seems to be very positive. Like you said there earlier on, it's the way forward. It has to be the way forward. People, I think it would encourage them more if they feel it's their club. They own the club. They have a say in what goes on in the club. You know, that's what we're aiming for. It's if we kind of hit the figures that we're hoping for in terms of membership, the money, it's not going to be a huge game changer. It's probably going to come in at around about maybe 10% of our revenue for the season. So it's not going to suddenly make us, you know, the best team in the land or anything like that. My kind of personal opinion on it is the money's almost secondary. It's about getting people involved, getting people to feel that it's their club, they own the club, and they want to be part of the club.
Shane, I've seen this club's owned by that supporters trust over in England. The likes of one example I'll give you is Exeter City, where it's worked really well, and they've put a real emphasis on youth, and they've sold players to Premier League clubs. You know, got some big money in for them. So I think the way to go with a supporters trust is to really work on the youth policy, developing players, and then selling them on. Is that something that would that you're looking at for the short term future?
Absolutely. I mean, you only have to look at our first team this season, and there's, you know, a good number of players in there that are actually eligible for the under-19s.
Yeah.
You know, youth has always been a thing for the club. You look like our under-15s this year; they actually lost at the weekend, but up until then, they'd won four games out of four. You know, sitting pretty at the top of the Group 3 in the under-15s league. You know, it's something that we're proud of, and like you say, it's you know, we really look to promote these players and ultimately have them playing first team football for Wexford FC, you know.
Excellent.
And just on the short term for this season, Shane, obviously big game for Wexford at the weekend. Well, I suppose a big game in sense of avoiding the bottom spot in the first division. And I'm sure that's a short-term aim for Damien Locke this season.
Absolutely. a few weeks ago when we beat Cabo, and we kind of came off the foot of the table. I spoke to him in a post game interview, and we kind of talked about it. You know, it wasn't exactly winning a league or a cup or anything, but there was like a big kind of sense of relief that, you know, we really didn't want to finish bottom. You have to kind of take whatever victories you can get. So to finish second bottom in the table now would be, you know, it'll be, well, for a new club, it's going to be progress, isn't it? It's going to be, you know, we finish second bottom, and then as the years go on, we'll aim to finish higher and higher up that table, and ultimately then, you know, you want to finish in the top three spots, hopefully.
Yeah, as we've seen with Cavantini coming in, they obviously the first couple of years were kind of glued to the foot of the first division, but this year they've been one of the surprise packages. So I suppose they're a club maybe you're looking to follow in the footsteps of slightly.
Absolutely. Both on the pitch and off the pitch. We spoke earlier about, you know, social media and things. Cabo really are the kind of, I'd almost say they're the trendsetters. They're really good at what they do. And like you say, on the pitch as well, the way they've progressed over the last few years has been great. And yeah, it's definitely something that we would want to replicate down in Wexford, you know.
Well, Shane, it's been brilliant to speak to you, and I suppose myself and John will see you in a couple of weeks when you visit the City Connacht Stadium, so maybe...
Certainly will. I'll be there to pick up my Longford Town supporters membership for 2018.
Maybe bring you for a pint before, Andy.
Oh, please do.
Maybe some Wexford FC and Between the Stripes collaboration as well.
Yeah, there you go. Heard it here first.
Shane, thanks very much, and continued success with Wexford.
Talk to you later. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so that's a First Division perspective on attendances, but now we're going to get in touch with Julian Canny, whose team Galway had a cracking 2-1 win against Derry at the weekend. But again, not too many at the ground, so we're going to speak to Julian now.
So on the line now is Galway United fan Julian Canny. Julian, a massive win for your side at the weekend at home to Derry City, but the attendance only 8-7-1, quite disappointing for what was certainly a relegation six-pointer.
Yeah, it was a bit surprising because the previous week I went down for the Limerick Cup quarter final. It was actually even less than the Derry game. That was kind of on the back. The Hurlers had won the All Ireland on the Sunday, and I thought these would be good buzz around. But and people out for a cup quarter final. I remember back in the day when we beat Pats in a quarter final, and then there was one year we met Longford in the semi finals. And I think in that semi quarter final we had like 5,000 at it as well. And like against Limerick then, like people were kind of saying, oh yeah, people have partied out for the week. But obviously the performance wasn't great in that cup quarter final, but back to the league action, and like you say, it was a crucial game for us, and again to have still just under, well yeah, less than 1,000. I think that's probably our worst home crowd of the season actually in the league. So
the lowest was actually 723 back in May against Derry City also.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was a Monday game, wasn't it, I think?
So, yeah, I think you're right in that. But
yeah, for a Friday night game, it was really disappointing because, like, there usually is a kind of good hardcore there of, I don't know, 700-800 or something, but it seems to be kind of to make that extra push to kind of have, like, 1,500 regularly. It's kind of disappointing because you look at like Limerick, what they're doing, and Finn Harps even have probably got a higher average than we have. So it's like we should be getting bigger crowds, but it's, I don't know, I suppose the kind of Galway City is maybe a bit notorious of not having the greatest interest in sports, in any sports really, and it's kind of a bit of maybe bandwagon jumping and things. And like the Connacht rugby team is kind of the flavour of the month recently as well, the last couple of years. But
I'm reliably informed by Nigel Hegarty, a real stats man for attendances, that your average attendance this season is 1,207.
Yeah. So like that's like, I suppose that's not too bad now. Like when you kind of look at it like that, but there would be ones which are, I suppose, bringing it up. Like I think the first day of the season, we had a big enough crowd for that.
Yeah, over 2,000 for the first game of the season. So
yeah. So like obviously this Friday now we're playing Sligo, massive game. I'd expect Sligo to bring kind of close to 500 down to the game, and like you'd be hopeful we'll hit the 2,000 mark. But I don't know I suppose Derry probably only brought a handful last week, so you're kind of asking for nearly double the support from Galway fans, like 800 going up to like 1,500 to make it up to 2,000 with the 500 away fans. But like the lads really deserve it. Like I know the last time I was on, I was kind of saying, even though we've been down near the bottom. We're actually entertaining to watch, and we're playing good football. And a win, like a win on Friday, we could be up to seventh. Like it's just crazy how close it is. So it's I don't know. I'd be hopeful now we'll get. Well, anyway, 1800. Anyway, it's like it'd be good to see 2000 being broken again. But
yeah, it's certainly an exciting battle at the bottom for the neutral, Julian. But just off the field, there seemed to be a great effort from the club at the start of the season. I remember seeing on social media they were running shuttle buses out to AIM and DC, and as I said earlier on the show, it's without a doubt one of the finest grounds within the league. And as well as that, they went round and they put up all the home fixtures at the local AstroTurf pitches, which I thought was a great touch. So there does seem to be a good effort from within the club to really push up that average. So what if you could pick out one reason why the people aren't coming out to watch Galway United apart from the results, what would you pick?
Yeah, like it's really difficult to put my finger on it, because like one thing we didn't have before was we didn't have a bar, and I was kind of saying, right, that's there, but they've actually put that in, and you'll see like for the big games now that's been packed at half time, like we let away fans into it, it was always a bit of a sing song. So that's there. There's the buses have been running again, like they're not run for every game, but like some of the buses actually do go for every game, I think from Lochray and Athenry, which would be there'd be decent enough support there. But it really is difficult. I suppose that maybe there's so many different options in Galway, and it's I don't know, it's like I'd love to know, because like the people in the club, like they're working hard, like there's certainly not a lack of effort there, as you say, like posters are being put up everywhere and people should be well aware of the games, and it's kind of difficult to know. Like I think, like I was saying, like earlier when a few years, probably 10-15 years ago, when we got to the cup quarter finals, like there is the potential there of like big support, and it's nearly, I don't know, it's it probably does go back to that kind of bandwagon thing, that if we did start getting a bit better and kind of pushing for Europe, I think our crowds would just go up and it'd be kind of the place to be seen. But yeah, we're competing with Connacht Rugby. We've been doing well the last few years now, like the Hurlers or whatever. Like I suppose it wouldn't be so much competing for the same crowd as the Hurlers, but Connacht Rugby do play sometimes clash fixtures, like they play on Friday nights and all. And like I suppose it is kind of expensive if you're bringing a family of a couple of kids, like two adults and two kids, and you're going to, you kind of have to pick and choose what games you go to. So I think that's it. I think we just do need some success in something. Like even if we got to the League Cup final again this year, but that could have brought the people out. But
Julian, just one last point I wanted to ask you. You know, we've only a few matches left in the season. Are you hopeful you can avoid relegation?
Yeah, like to be honest, I'd be really hopeful now. Like I'm quietly confident about beating Sligo on Friday. Like I think we've kind of always had recently when we've been trying to get out of it, we've got results, and then like another team, say Sligo won down in Cork, and I think Finn Harps won in Limerick a few weeks ago, and thankfully last week when we beat Derry, it was kind of, we were the team who kind of surprised everyone at getting results. Like you look at our last three games now, we've Sligo at home on Friday, so definite 3 points available there. Like obviously it might go that way, but then we're away to Bray in the next league game, which I think they're one of the teams you'd want to be playing in your run-in. The problems going on there, and obviously they don't have a whole lot to play for. Then we're at home to St. Pat's, again another 6-pointer there. Then away to Limerick, again another 6-pointer. And the final day of the season is, so it's a bit of a wild card. We're at home to Dundalk, and like you'd imagine they'll have second place wrapped up by then, possibly in a cup final. So it could be, like, you don't really want to play Dundalk, but it's probably the best time to be playing them on the last day, when potentially they might rest a few players. So like, we've been playing well. Apart from the cup game against Limerick, we have been playing well. We should have beaten Bowes and Daly, which was a real game of two halves. We probably should have been two or three down at half time, but then got level. Certainly should have won it at the end. Had a good win against Derry. And I think just the team seems to be playing with good confidence, and pretty much everyone's available. The new defender, Niall Maher, I think he's probably going to miss out tomorrow. But aside from that, everyone's available. And I know Jonah Younger was like, he's actually out, but like he played four times for us and that's it. So it's like, it's unfortunate. We could have definitely done with him, but yeah, I think like it's certainly in our hands. And I think probably what I said the last time was, if we're good enough, if our performances are good enough, that we should stay up. And yeah, I'd be reasonably confident. I couldn't tell you who's going to go down though in our place, but that's another matter. But.
Well, myself and John are going to attempt that now in the next few minutes, Julian, as we run through this weekend's fixtures. So we're going to let you go. Thanks very much. Like Stephen Henderson, you've come on the show twice, so you're in esteemed company, Julian.
Yeah. Being associated with him is no bad thing anyway. So that's great anyway.
Enjoy the game of the weekend, Julian, and we'll speak to you again. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, lads.
So, John, that rounds off our debate this week on the attendances across the league. Of course, it's important to point out that it's not just a handful of clubs that are suffering from this. It is widespread across the league. Maybe you could take away, obviously, the likes of the very top clubs that are having great success at the moment, like your Cork Cities, your Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers still holding a steady attendance figure as well. But after that, there is some real challenges facing the league. Attendance is probably the biggest one, because it's what clubs rely on to survive, and it's been great to get the insight there of a couple of guests.
Yeah, fantastic. And it's okay for clubs that have got success, because success obviously breeds people wanting to watch it. They get enthused about the game, but it's also the clubs that are struggling. That's where we need to look at attendances, and the likes of Galway and Longford and all these other clubs that need to be looking at what they can do more to bring more attendances in, and ideas like Kids for a Quid, you know, or Free with a Paying Adult, all that kind of thing. That's what they need to be doing more of to bring more supporters into the club.
Yep, but as we said, that rounds up our debate on the attendances. I'm moving along lightly now. We're going to speak about the EA Sports Cup final, which took place at the weekend. A comprehensive 3-0 win for Dundalk as they won the EA Sports Cup for the first time since 2014. A huge win over their rivals, Shamrock Rovers, in the Tallaght Stadium, John.
Yeah, pretty one-way traffic as well, I thought, Kieran. I know you were there, but you know, 3-0 wasn't flattering Dundalk in any way.
Seen a couple of comments after the game. A lot of people spoke about Shamrock Rovers' performance and said that it was a good performance, and maybe they were just missing a bit of cutting edge up front. I'd have to strongly disagree. I was very unimpressed with Shamrock Rovers. It was what I'd describe a below average performance. We spoke on last week's show about the need for the big players like Rowan Finn to step up. He was absolutely anonymous in the game, didn't get a sniff, whereas the likes of McElhenney, Michael Duffy, Sean Gannon, Van Mulland, they were all absolutely superb for Dundalk, stood up massively on the day. McMillan, the only word to describe what he done to the Rovers back four, he absolutely bullied the Rovers back four, got a fantastic goal after a couple of minutes from a corner, and from then on in, Dundalk never looked in threat. Aaron Bulger got sent off, very rash tackle. We've spoken so much about this on the show this year about Rovers and ill discipline. That was another example of it. And just a huge disappointment for Shamrock Rovers to be beaten in their home ground so comprehensively.
I think there was a point though when they were 1-0 down when it was Webster hit the post.
And yeah, that, just before half time.
Exactly, and that could have changed the match. But
just before that, John, Dundalk probably should have been 2 or 3 up before then. I remember a back heel effort that was blocked as it went goalwards. McMillan had a couple of chances. So for me, Dundalk were very comfortable in the game at that stage. Yes, they switched off from a corner, but Rovers didn't capitalise on it. And as the best teams do, they punished Shamrock Rovers.
And we run out of superlatives for Paddy McElhenney, don't we?
Superb goal.
Another superb strike. That was after Bulger being sent off, and then Thomas Stewart finishing the game 3-0. Yeah.
So we're going to speak to Dundalk goalkeeper Gary Rogers now about that success at the weekend. It was obviously Gabriel Sava that played in that League Cup final, but as I mentioned earlier, Rogers has pretty much won everything in Irish football apart from the EA Sports Cup, so I'm sure he will be delighted with Gabriel Sava's performance at the weekend as he kept. So we're joined on this week's show by Dundalk FC goalkeeper Gary Rogers. Gary, of course, didn't play in the Cup Final against Shamrock Rovers at the weekend, but he's been an instrumental part of Dundalk's success in recent years. And Gary, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much for having me, Gary.
So Gary, I was looking at your honours list earlier on, just before the show, and I found it amazing to notice that the EA Sports Cup was really the only thing missing off the list. So while you didn't play at the weekend, you must be absolutely delighted to finally get that one in the cabinet.
Yeah, it's been great to be involved and obviously to pick up the League Cup again. Look, it's great for everyone at the club to be in finals, and obviously look, when you get to a final you want to win them, so it was a good performance the weekend and a good 3-0 victory.
Yeah, and we had Brian Gartland on last week's show, and he spoke about these cup finals and these big occasions really bringing the bite and the hunger back to this group. Obviously you had a disappointing start to the season, so it's great that Dundalk can still do a cup treble, because there was a Leinster Senior Cup semi-final win last night against UCD. So I suppose you echo those comments from Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's still lots to play for. I think, you know, you'd be considering a successful season if you could pick up big pieces of silver. And I know there's a lot of work left in order to do that, but we're certainly, you know, the way we're playing, and obviously when it's doing fine, the FA Cup and the final of the Leinster Senior Cup, so there is obviously opportunities there to go for silverware. And, you know, I think everyone's really got the bit between the teeth, and, you know, our form has improved as the season has gone on, and we'd be hopeful of trying to achieve them goals.
Yeah, and obviously Shamrock Rovers will be the opposition at Oriel Park in a couple of weeks in the semi-final of the FAI Cup. So how much of a mental boost do you feel it was for you guys to beat them on their own patch, and so comprehensively as well?
Yeah, I think, look, it's been good. Like, I don't think it'll have any bearing on the game in 2 weeks' time, but, like, obviously, you know, it's good to, you know, go into the game off the back of a victory against them, because they had won the previous two games against them. So it was... Maybe we were due to get a win over them. So look, it won't have any massive bearing on the game, but it's good for confidence knowing that, you know, you've beaten the opposition recently. And look, hopefully, you know, on the day, if we can play to the best of our ability, you know, we should be hopefully be able to get the victory and get into the final.
And you'll be wanting to put a marker down on Monday night playing Cork, basically stating that you might have won it this season, but we're going to be back in for the title next season.
It's a big game. I think, you know, Cork have been our big rivals over the last, you know, 3-4 seasons, and look, we've been, you know, in the right end of the league over the last 3 years, and, you know, it looks like they're going to get their turn out of this year. But yeah, look, we'd be obviously eager to get a victory, because, you know, them big games, you want to be winning them. And I think the way it's set up, that if they were to win it on the night, it would mean that they would win the league. So obviously we won't be eager for that to happen.
No, you'd be determined to put a spanner in the works for that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll be trying to delay it as long as we can, to be fair.
Yeah, look, I suppose at some stage we're going to be thinking about next season, and what's your situation for 2018, Gary?
Yeah, I'm signed for next year with Dundalk, so like I've another year to look forward to at the club. And look, it's been a great 3 years to date, and you know, the club has been terrific. And you look at silverware over the last number of years, and the way that it's been going, it's been terrific. So I'm glad to be there for another season.
And Gary, obviously you've had a long career now in the League of Ireland, as we mentioned, so much success, but have you started maybe to think about the future after football? You're obviously working under the very best in Stephen Kenny, and obviously his assistant Vinnie Part. Are you looking maybe to get into coaching in the future?
Certainly look at coaching in some capacity. It'd be more goalkeeping coaching I'd be looking at. Over the last, when I was at Sligo, I actually started the online sports management degree that the PFAI have been a part of together with FIFA. So I've actually finished my degree this year in March, so I've kind of got that in place for after football. It was something that, you know, it was 3.5 year process, and I was glad to finish it. So I have that in place for, you know, not be outside of football really, but I think it's important to have some sort of education, I suppose, behind me before when you enter the real world, because we all know as a League of Ireland footballer, it doesn't last forever, and you're certainly going to have to get a job when you're finished.
You must be the real scholar amongst the group, so Gary.
No, I think that honour goes to Robbie Benson. I think Robbie's got a Masters, and Dave McMillan as well. There's a few lads who are pretty sharp in our group.
A smart group. So, but Gary, just before we go, I obviously have to ask you about your Ireland call up last year. Must have been one of the greatest honours of your career.
Absolutely. Look, it was terrific. Obviously to go in training and then, you know, to do well and to be, you know, to be asked back, and was probably, you know, the biggest honour of all, because look, the fact that we went in there the second and the third time was really great and a real confidence boost, and it was a fantastic experience, there's no doubt about that.
And finally, just while we're on Irish football, obviously a very sad day within the broadcasting circles with the passing of Jimmy McGee. What would be your best memory of Jimmy growing up watching sport?
Oh, there's so many. Like, I think, you know, I think everyone would remember the Norwich Sports program. They were watching that as a kid, and like he was a gentleman. I was lucky enough to meet him on a couple of occasions and have a chat with him, and you know, what a great character, and you know, he'd be sadly missed.
Yeah, and of course a native to County Louth, so condolences from everyone here at Between the Stripes. But Gary, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. Best luck in the next few weeks. Some huge games coming up, and hopefully I'll be in attendance for a few of them at Oriel, so very best of luck.
No problem at all. Thanks very much, lads.
Cheers, Gary.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Enjoyed the show so far? Why not drop us a review on iTunes? Is there something you'd like featured on next week's show? Tweet us on @BetweenStripes or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our website address is www.betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Enjoy the second half.
So, EA Sports Cup final aside, John, we're moving on now to the results from the Premier Division at the weekend. You're going to run through those for us.
Yeah, we're going to kick off with Galway's 2-1 win against Derry. What a massive 3 points for Galway. And to me, it looked like a team that was really scrapping for everything. The two goals that Galway scored, they were scrappy, Kieran. But I tell you what, that showed to me that they're a team fighting for their lives and you know, determined to stay up.
Yeah, I suppose for Derry to peg them back through Rory Patterson on 31 minutes and then to come back and Stephen Folan, he's been an excellent signing or re-signing, I should say. Obviously, it's his second spell with Galway. So for him to pop up with that winner on the 78 minute, huge boost for everyone at Galway. And as Julian said earlier, it does give them some great momentum going into this massive. You can nearly describe it as a 9-pointer against Sligo at the weekend.
Well, yeah, that's going to be huge, is that? But on the other foot, a really disappointing result for Derry in their battle for European qualification.
Yeah, obviously with the way the FAI Cup results are going, it does take a little bit of pressure off Derry and Shamrock Rovers, because it's looking like fourth spot will be enough to qualify either of those for Europe. But they've just lost a little bit of momentum there with that result, and they'll be eager to set that right this weekend.
Absolutely, and as we talked about, Rory Patterson, the quintessential striker, he was on the goal sheets again.
You know? Yeah, one of my favourite strikers within the league round. Maybe not his most prolific one this season, but it's great to still see him banging them in.
He's been a fantastic servant, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Moving on, well, Doom Drogheda 1, Bohemians 4, and a masterclass from Keith Ward.
I think the only hat-trick that'll beat that this season will be the hat-trick by Houlihan for Galway. There was a fantastic volley from Ward, a great strike, but the goalkeeping would be a bit questionable. I thought he probably could have kept that one out, but didn't he cork him with an absolute belter in that game as well? All four goals from Bohemians were fantastic. Two red cards in this game as well. Oscar Brennan sent off for Bohemians on 52, and a man we've praised a lot on the show this season, Chris Mulhall, with a red on 60. I think if ever there was a red card of pure frustration, that was it.
Yeah, so going back to the start, Keith Ward, well, as we've seen so many times this season, he parted the Drogheda defence like the Red Sea, and you know, scored and a great run again for the second. Finished off with a hat-trick. So 3-0 after those red cards, game over. But the fourth goal for me, Dinny Corcoran, it just reminded me, do you remember the one with Naeem against David Seaman?
Yeah, just about.
Something similar to that. Huge lob from distance, cracking goal. Sean Brennan pulled one back, but by that stage, it was all over. Drogheda down
it is
and
all
out.
Over, yeah, down and out. And I think we'll move along with that one, John. Bray Wanderers 1, Limerick 1. Limerick disappointed not to take all three in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. But it looks like their strike force is coming back to the best again. I thought Tosi looked really lively first half. He forced two great saves from Cherry in goals there. You know, it was a little bit against the run of play that Bray went in front through Darren Noon, header from across.
Fantastic header from Darren Noon. He's popped up with a couple this season. Looks to be a player with a bit of potential. McCabe with a missed penalty for Bray on 71. So while Limerick missed a lot of chances, Bray obviously also will be looking at this game as 3 points lost.
Do you know, it's one of my pet hates, Kieran. It's the rubbish run-up for a penalty. It's the stuttering, what am I going to do? And I think he puts the striker in two minds at least. What's he going to do? And he ends up
Yeah, Brendan Clark had said he'd already been beaten this season by McCabe down the middle, so he wasn't going to be beaten twice down the middle, because that's a pet hate for a goalkeeper. If you're beaten down the side, fair enough, but you're not beating me twice down the middle. So well done to Brendan Clark on that one.
And then one of my favourite strikers in the league with a fantastic run and finish, Ogbeni. Cheered Ozzy Ogbeni.
Gave an interview today. I can't remember which publication it was with, but basically he said he wants everyone to know his name, so watch out for Ogbeni next season. He's going to keep improving, and I think he could be a real superstar in this league.
It might be a case that he moves on to bigger and better things. I mean, he's a striker with pace and power. You know, he's going to be in demand, Kieran.
Speaking of superstars and amazing goals, Paddy McCourt, wow.
Habs won Sligo too, but yeah, that's only part of the story. Paddy McCourt's solo goal was, it's as good as you will see.
Yeah, reeling in the ears there.
Yeah, it was funny because I was on Twitter this week and somebody puts like the top three goals from Tony Eboa, if you remember him, for Leeds United, and a couple of crackers, and Paddy McCourt, he wouldn't have looked out of place. You know, he went through umpteen defenders before slotting past the keeper. Absolute sumptuous goal. You know, he's still got it, that lad.
Still got it, and especially if Hearts are to go down, they may find it difficult to retain the services of Paddy McCourt. But a man we've spoke about has been a key signing for Sligo was Vinnie Faherty, and he got a fantastic diving header on 17 minutes, John.
Yeah, well, he's needed a goal, hasn't he? And I think Sligo have needed him to score, and he's come good this match with the opener in that one. But you know, the last goal as well, Reece McCabe pinched it right at the death. Right, what a body blow for Hearts.
Yeah, you could hear Ollie Horgan roaring from the press box. Obviously, he was suspended from the sideline. I think he's probably regretting the fact that his defenders maybe didn't pull McCabe down, but McCabe showed great pace to get away, so I think even if they did attempt some unquestionable tactics, that he might have still got away. And it was a great finish into the bottom right hand corner, and just like Faherty, his signing could be the difference between Sligo staying up and going down.
Absolutely, and it's changed things round at the bottom again this season, so it's so tight down there, Kieran. I mean, it's, you know, it's who's going to get relegated this season. We already know Drogheda is down, but if you look at that table, it's 3 points between Limerick in seventh. I think we can say Bows are safe now.
Yeah,
that
Bows are safe, 100%.
3 points between Limerick in seventh and Galway in 11th, and it's dragged Pats back into it as well.
Yeah, I just wish there was more TV coverage this season, because what a relegation battle. There's very few leagues in the world that are going to see a finish like this to their season, and so many big fixtures coming up. And we're going to speak about the fixtures now, John, and the one I would pick out this weekend as being the game of the weekend, it has to be that derby between Galway United and Sligo.
It's a massive match, isn't it? Galway-Sligo. I mean, Sligo giving themselves a little bit of breathing space with that win, but you know, if Galway to win that, they'd be straight back in it. It's that tight, Kieran.
Yeah, as you said about the league table, Sligo here with a win, they could climb up to 7th, but if they were just to lose this game, they could drop to 11th. Even a draw would see them drop into the relegation zone. It really just is an incredible story this season.
It is, and you almost feel for the two clubs that are going to go down with Drogheda, because any other season they'd probably been all right, but it's just so close down there, and it's going to be really, really fine margins. Like that last minute goal by Reece McCabe that are going to make the difference between teams staying up and going down.
I think a moment of magic or a last minute goal is what might have to separate these two sides. Just looking at my notes that I made earlier on here, what I have wrote down for this is impossible to call, because listen to these stats. They've had 3 draws in meetings this season. The only outcome that wasn't a draw, well, it was a draw, it went to extra time in the League Cup, and Galway won on penalties. So they've had 3 draws this season. Sligo, very worrying for them. They're the lowest scorers bar Drogheda in the division with only 27 goals, but Galway, they're not much better off. They only scored 33, and in terms of goals conceded, 39 conceded by Galway plays 40 conceded by Sligo. It's impossible to separate these two sides.
Yeah, and Sligo are going to be looking at the likes of Vinnie Faherty against his old club, and the likes of Reece McCabe, who seems to be hitting a bit of form, to you know, I quite fancy them against Galway.
Yeah, momentum is a huge thing in football, and both teams are coming in with momentum here. Galway with their huge win against Derry, Sligo with that incredible last minute winner against Finn Harps. So John, I'm going to leave it to you. You give us the decision on this one.
Well, although Galway are scrapping for the lads, I'm going for an away win here.
Right, I'm going to go with a home win in this one. I think you mentioned it on last week's show about the lack of wins. Sligo only have 6 now. Galway only have 6 as well, but they have been playing the better football for me this season. As Julian said, they've played good football, they just haven't got the rewards. So I'm hoping that the team that's been playing the best football is going to be rewarded, but sometimes that doesn't always happen in football. But Galway with the better goal difference here, so a win here really would put Sligo right down in trouble.
Okay, continuing on the Friday match, there's another team in big trouble, although is Limerick, and it's not getting any easy for them. They at home to Cork, champions elect.
No, free fall FC, as you've labelled Limerick on the show. 2 points clear of the drop after that 1-1 draw with Bray. Only one win in their last six Premier Division games. That was a 1-0 win over Bohemians in August. And they've only taken 4 points from a possible 18. So, as you said, free fall FC are in big trouble here.
Yeah, relegation form. Have you seen anything from them that convinces you they can get anything against Cork?
Well, obviously they had that great cup win, but that did come against a team that's also in relegation trouble. The last time we seen these two sides play, it was a comprehensive 4-1 win at Turner's Cross for Cork, and it could have been a lot more than 4. We could have been talking 7 or 8. Cork have two huge games this week. They can win the title this week. I expect them to win the title this week. So my short answer to that, John, is no, I can't see an upset in this one.
Okay, we're going to finish off the Friday matches before going on to Monday's fixtures. But we have a couple near the top. Well, top versus nearly bottom. Dundalk against Drogheda. Anything other than a home win, Kieran?
No, a cricket score really, John. Was at the game a couple of weeks ago in the Cup where Dundalk, 4-0 was the final score, and could have been so much more, but Dundalk were only in second gear for most of that game. As we've been saying on the show tonight, they've won the EA Sports Cup, they're in the Leinster Senior Cup final, they're in an FAI Cup semi-final, beat Drogheda 4-0 a couple of weeks ago in the Cup, and the last time they failed to beat Drogheda was a 1-1 draw on the 8th of August 2014. The last time they lost Drogheda was the 31st of August 2012, when Peter Hines of all people got a double for Drogheda. So I can't see anything crazy like that happening.
They're just waiting for the season to end, out the Drogheda.
Yeah, it's gone bad there.
Yeah, absolutely. And final fixture is one regarding the top slots here. Derry against Bray. Well, I suppose a win for Bray would put that European place back in striking distance.
Yeah, only 1 point off Shamrock Rovers currently. Surprise loss to Galway, as we mentioned at the weekend. They are in good form overall, 4 wins from their last six, but they have lost the last two, that defeat to Galway and then a heavy 4-0 defeat to Dundalk. Bray only 4 points behind Derry, so this is a big chance for them to make a final push for those European places, despite everything that's going on at the club at the moment. They've had 2 wins this season already over Derry City, both games ended 3-2. And in those two 3-2 wins, they had three different scorers, so it shows there's a good spread of goals in this team. If you just look at the scoring charts, McCabe obviously tops it with 14, Aaron Green has 8 goals, Ryan Brennan 6, Tim Clancy, who has been chipping in with a couple lately, he has 3 goals, and they're the third highest scorers overall in the Premier Division, so there's a good spread of goals. And for me, that's going to be the difference here. I think Derry rely too heavily on their big players like McNamee and Patterson, and I think Bray, despite everything going on at the moment, can take an away win here.
But it's been another bad week for Bray off the pitch.
Bad week for Bray, bad week for the league. The headlines just keep coming. Hopefully nothing's going to come of it. Hopefully this is just a misplaced allegation. But as we've said, Athlone have had more bad news coming out of their club today with a 7-game suspension for Jason Lyons over breaches of FAI rules on betting. So the headlines really aren't good for Irish football at the moment, and there's not much more we can say on that really, John.
No, we could do without it, and let's hope that's the last of it, Kieran, to be honest.
Yeah, you're dead right in what you say there, John. But moving on to the Tallaght Stadium, it was the site of the EA Sports Cup final at the weekend. Huge disappointment for Shamrock Rovers, and they'll be looking to bounce back with a win over Finn Harps.
Harps scrapping for the lives now, Kieran, out there. Can you see them get something there?
One win in their last six Premier Division games, it certainly doesn't make for good reading. Their next two games after this are against Dundalk and Derry. Doesn't get any easier. They lost their last two. Their last two games may decide their Premier Division future when they face Drogheda United at home and Bohemians away. So I think this, if Harps could get a point from this, it would be a real boost, a real bonus. But I think Harps is the live to fight another day, no matter what happens here.
Okay, well, I think Rovers will put their disappointment of that EA Cup final behind them, and they'll beat Harps this weekend.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, with the fact that the fourth place team is most likely going to qualify for Europe, it does take a bit of that pressure off Derry City and Shamrock Rovers, and we might see that come to the fore in the Tallaght Stadium this weekend. I think a major thing to point out from that final at the weekend was the absence of Gary Shaw. Obviously, he came off the bench, but I thought when he came on, he made the team look a lot more dangerous. His hold-up play, it's an aspect that Michael O'Connor doesn't really have. He's more of a striker that'll try and get off the shoulder and get in behind. But when you don't have a lot of the football, and against a quality team like Dundalk, it's hard to do that, and it's hard to impose your game on the opposition, whereas Gary Shaw has the physical attributes to do that, and I think this is the perfect game for him, really.
Yeah, and Shaw always offers an easy ball out of defence as well, you know, if they're struggling to pick a pass, there's always that option of getting to Shaw. So Rovers to bounce back against Hearts.
And cup disappointment aside, they're actually on a three-match winning run in the league. Their last league defeat was a 2-0 defeat against Derry City on the 4th of August. So as you said, this should be a victory for Shamrock Rovers. But if Hearts were to pull something out of the bag here, it would just throw up another cloud of uncertainty over this relegation battle.
It's just so hard to predict. And looking at the final fixture on Friday, Bows against Pats. Pats are in big trouble again, aren't they?
Yeah, a massive bonus for Harps, or sorry, for Pats, and it might be their saving grace. They're 11 goals better off than Finn Harps, and they have a game in hand. So this really is a huge, huge fixture for St. Pats, not to mention the fact it's a Dublin derby. Their remaining games are Shamrock Rovers away, Limerick at home, Galway away, Cork at home, and Derry away. So some winnable fixtures there. Pats have an opportunity to rack up a couple of points and get themselves out of trouble, but their last league game was a 6-0 defeat to Dundalk, so you have to wonder how that's going to affect them mentally.
They've almost dropped back down into that bottom section by stealth, because they were down there, we criticised them heavily, didn't they? And then they went on a great run, got themselves seemingly out of trouble, and now they're being sucked back in. And they're facing a Bow side, which, you know, they've players that are really on form. You look at the likes of Ward, Akinade, Corcoran.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have too much to pass.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Bohemians were in a relegation scrap. We reckon they're safe now. They're only 2 points off Bray in fifth. They're 7 points clear of the drop zone. 11 points from the last possible 18. So it's a good run of form at the moment for Bohemians. Would you make them favourites for this, John?
I think so, yeah. That's, for me, I think Bows will win this.
Yeah, Pats did win the earlier fixture 4-0, so that throws another spanner into the works. These games at the end of the season, they're so hard to call, so I'd advise people not to put too much money on the fixtures this weekend. But there's also some fixtures on Monday night, John.
Absolutely. Well, the first one we look at, Pats again, they're at home to Shamrock Rovers. So
another Dublin, back-to-back Dublin derbies for St. Pats.
Some cracking fix, hopefully good attendances. We did talk about attendances early in the season, but these are always guarantees to get some good numbers behind them. It's going to be a cracker. What way is that going to go, Kieran? I'm going to throw that one over to you.
I can't call that one, John. I really can't. I suppose we'll have to wait and see how this weekend's Friday night's fixtures goes and how things shape up there. You could obviously have a couple of players missing through injury. Like I said, Shaw should be, you know, back to his full fitness after a couple of games. Pats are going to be relying heavily on the likes of Fagan and Conan Byrne in the coming weeks. So if one of them were to miss a game like this, it'd just throw the whole thing up in the air. So really tough fixture to call. But as I said, great opportunity for Pats in the coming weeks to build up a points total that'll keep them up in the Premier Division.
Yeah, absolutely. And the final match, the one we talked about with Gary Rogers earlier, is Dundalk's trip to Cork. And Dundalk will be wanting to put down a marker for next season.
Yeah, and they'll want to, as Gary said, put the party off in Cork for as long as possible. You'd be expecting a sold-out Turner's Cross for this one, despite it being a Monday night. Cork City have waited a long, long time to recapture that Premier Division title that they won last in 2005. And they very well could do it against a team that's caused them so much pain and suffering in the last couple of years. And on to the First Division we go, John. You have the results from the weekend.
I do, and we'll start off with, as we talked about Wexford earlier in the show, Waterford making sure of that number one spot by beating Wexford 3-0.
Yeah, I suppose it's our turn to give huge congratulations to Waterford FC. They captured the First Division title at the weekend, thanks in turn to their 3-0 victory away to Wexford. And then obviously Cove Ramblers played the following night, and they had to win to keep the title race alive. Unfortunately, they couldn't do that. Cabinteely with the party poopers, a 3-0 win there, a couple of goals from Joe Doyle, who's been a great player for Cabinteely this season. But just on that game in Ferry Carrick Park, two goals from Mark Sullivan. I think we knew when he came in he was going to be a huge key to Waterford's season, and one of the best finds of the season in the First Division for me, John Martin, with another goal there on 75 minutes. 3-0 win for Waterford, and they're going to the Premier Division next season.
Yeah, congratulations Waterford. They've just had the quality,
and the few different
quality
well.
Players that have made a big difference. So, it's well deserved. Favourites pre-season, and they've shown it throughout the season. Well done, Waterford. Talked about Cabo there going and beating Cove 3-0. It was a bit unexpected. But at the other end of the table, Shelburne with a pretty comprehensive win against Athlone. Athlone's problems go from bad to worse, 4-1.
Yeah, so once again, over 2.5 goals there, if anyone's backing that. Shelburne, the goals came from Dale Rooney, Sean Byrne, Dylan Grimes and Derek Prendergast. Etandon Colum missed a penalty on 11 minutes for Athlone Town, which was a bit of a turning point in the game. But have to say, I couldn't be too critical of him since he's rejoined Athlone. He's actually put in great work rate and he looks to be one of very few players in that squad that has a little bit of quality, a bit of spark. You can tell he's played at a higher level. So I would love to see him get a move to no disrespect to Athlone, to a bigger club, everything going on there.
To their local rivals, maybe?
Well, we had him before and he was a huge crowd favourite. So he'd be more than welcome back. Claudio Silva with the goal, consolation goal for Athlone on 60 minutes, but it's just a battle to avoid a bottom spot for Athlone now.
Okay, moving on finally to our beloved Longford Town FC. Andy, in a match where they dominated the first half, Davey O'Sullivan with a goal from the penalty spot at 1-0, but second half went off the boil and they were made to pay.
Seems to be the trend against UCD this season, John. They've always seemed to have the best of the first half, bar that first game in the UCD Bowl where UCD went 2-0 up in the first half and Longford probably should have equalised in the second. But in the most two recent meetings, Longford Town have absolutely bossed the first half, and then in the second half it just it hasn't followed through. Great to see Sully on the score sheet again. He's now only 19 goals away from 100. It hasn't really been publicised anywhere, but he actually got 4 goals against Athlone in that 7-1 win.
Right, okay.
Apparently it was spotted when they were watching back the video analysis that he got a little touch on one of the goals that went in. So there's something for you. Rob Manley with the equaliser for UCD on 69 minutes. Longford will be disappointed not to have won this one, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't change a lot.
Yeah, I mean, a victory would have put Longford within real catching distance of UCD in third place, but
that's gone now. UCD confirmed that they will finish third. So,
and to be honest, it's of no real relevance now from the end of the season as to how many points they pick up, because there's nothing to play for. But look, we're going to have a look at the fixtures
just
anyway.
Before we move on from that long game, John, I think we have to speak about the situation for next season. It's surely now of crucial importance to the football club that they tie Neil Fenn down to at least a 1 if not 2 year deal.
Yeah, I think we've seen before where Tony Cousins was given a 2 year contract, so so yeah, I know we briefly touched about this last week, but we'd be putting the onus on Longford to tie him down, because he's proven what a good manager he is, and I think with a couple more additions, the right team behind him, then Longford could be a team really pushing for promotion next season.
Yeah, it won't be easy next season, especially if the likes of Sligo and Pats were to come down. Even Galway, as Julian said, when they do get going, they can get a big crowd behind them, and obviously that helps budget wise for bringing players in. So it's going to be an attractive first division for the first time in a long time next season if the teams that we expect to come down do end up coming down to the first division. So it's going to be tough for Longford Town, and that's why they really need to start planning now, in my opinion.
Agreed, yeah.
But moving on to the weekend's fixtures, John.
Yeah, so, I mean, not a right lot to play for in these fixtures, but champions Waterford host Longford in the penultimate set of fixtures. Any hope for Longford going to the champions? Maybe they've had a few too many glasses of champagne or whatever they drink down there.
So Waterford have 2 wins this season over Longford. Longford have yet to pick a victory up over the Blues. This is their final chance. As we said, they'll be disappointed not to beat UCD. Big chances missed, which has been a story of their season even before Neil Fenn's arrival. Alan Matthews suffered greatly through some of the chances that went amiss in those early games in the first division. We've mentioned David O'Sullivan. He's back in form, 19 goals off 100 now. Not going to come this season, obviously, but hopefully next season that target will really be within grasp for the club's all-time leading goal scorer. Jack Brady's been in top form, some great saves against UCD at the weekend, saved the penalty the week previous against Cavintilly, and I think that's where the difference could come in this game compared to the previous meetings. We saw in the last meeting at the City Connacht Stadium, Waterford won the game 1-0, undeservedly in my opinion. It was through a goalkeeping error through Paul Skinner, who obviously has lost his place to Jack Brady. So that extra bit of quality in the team could just be the difference makers, and as you said, Waterford's head, they might be in it, and you couldn't blame them.
Yeah, absolutely. So possibility of Longford getting something down there.
Yeah, and while the table has no real relevance, Longford won't want to finish lower than fourth. It just doesn't look good to finish lower than fourth in an 18 division. So I'm sure Neil Fenn will be stressing the importance of these last few games. And obviously players will want to play for their future, try and secure a new contract for next year.
UCD against Cove now. Cove on the back of missing out on the title. So they've been at each other's coattails all season, really, UCD and Cove, but yeah, have 8 points on them.
Yeah, two underdogs really overachieved this season. I think a lot of people agree, and that's not to disrespect UCD or Cove Ramblers, but I think everybody knows they don't have the budgets of a Waterford, of a Longford Town, and even next season they won't have the budgets of some of the teams that are going to come down. So if they can replicate this form again next season, it'll be even better achievement. Cove, the disappointment factor of that title race not going down to the wire, will that affect them? UCD have already passed that bridge, I suppose. They have known for a couple of weeks now that their chances were gone.
I think it's going to be a tough end of season for Cove, and I think UCD is going to win that, actually, Kim.
History would say otherwise, John. Three meetings this season, they've all ended 1-0 to Cove. So I'm sure Stephen Henderson will be drumming that into his players to go out with their heads held high. There might be a couple of players there that probably know they're in the shop window, considering the great season they've had. So we could see Cove come out and play with real high intensity despite the disappointment they've suffered. It's a tough one to call. You're going for UCD. I'm going to go for a Cove win there.
Okay, we're gonna differ on our opinions with that one. So, battle for the basement. The wooden spoon, who's going to end up with that? So we've got Cabin Teal against Athlone. So. Where do we start with Athlone? Fresh betting scandals. Jason Lyons 7-match ban. What team's going to turn up? We've no idea.
Yeah,
and any hope for them?
No.
No. Okay.
Jason Lyons has scored 4 goals in 22 appearances, so it's a blow they could have done without. As we know, Igor Labutz won't be playing in this game. He's both himself and Dragos are appealing their 12-month ban, but Conor Gleeson will continue in goals. And He judging by a couple of social media comments from Athlone's recent game, he's a little bit error prone, John. So Cavatelli could have some joy in that department. And the Corns, a player to come in, a lot of things were expected from. He's barely played due to injury, John. So that's another blow that Raleigh could have done without. We've mentioned Nicolo. He's been a rare positive for Athlone in recent weeks. But I think to sum it all up, a minus 42 goal difference, whereas Cabo have a plus 2 goal difference. There's really no hope for Athlone here.
No, and Roddy's got a huge job in his hands to turn anything round at that club for next season as well. Look, final fixture. We're looking at Wexford against Shelburne, so Wexford will be desperate to avoid that bottom spot, won't they?
Yeah, only 4 wins out of 26 in the First Division all season for Wexford. 2 defeats on the bounce to UCD and Waterford, who in all fairness would be teams that would be expecting to beat Wexford given their position in the table. Wexford, though, have won their last 2 meetings against Shelburne, a 2-1 win and a 1-0 victory. Shelburne can climb up to 4th here, which would be a good achievement. It would be their 10th win of the season, should they capture. And they're undefeated in their last 3 in all competitions and into a Leinster Senior Cup final where they faced Dundalk. That was their last trophy, in fact, for the Reds. They captured that in 2010, beating Bray Wanderers in the final under the control of Alan Matthews. So it's a good little spell for Shelburne at the moment. They'll hopefully be looking to add a win this weekend away to Wexford.
Yeah, and I think they will, to be honest, Kieran.
Yeah, so that is it. Once again this week, folks, episode 13 has flown by. As we said at the start of the show, we're flying up the iTunes charts. We're absolutely delighted with it. So once again, we want to thank each and every one of you that's listening to the show, that's subscribing, that's reviewing us. Make sure you give our social media pages a like. Search us on Facebook, Between the Stripes. We're on Twitter, the handle is @BetweenStripes, and we're on Snapchat and Instagram as well. So thanks for joining us, and we will speak to you again next week.
Don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, or alternatively follow us on Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Casts, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. See you next week.